we celebrate our Welcome Home Sunday. Amen, family? If you are a guest, if you are a disciple who wandered away and came back, you are welcome. You're welcome home. Amen, family? It's great to have you with us this morning. Now, I got a song I got to play for you guys. Let's see if you can recognize it. All right? You. Amen, family. Thanks, bro. I know you want to keep it going on throughout the entire summer. But family, the title of the message today is Celebrate. Celebration. Because being a disciple and being in the kingdom of God really is summed up as a celebration. Family, we are just biding our time trying to get as many friends as we can into the ark, and that is God's kingdom, before we get to celebrate in heaven with the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so every Sunday should be that. Every Sunday should be a celebration of God, a celebration of our family, a celebration of the miracles, like our dear soon-to-be sister Stephanie who's come to be baptized today. Amen. Turn me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If you're our guest here today, we are a Bible church. I hope you've been encouraged by the singing, by the worship, but we focus on the Word of God. Amen. And we focus on not just knowing the Word of God, but applying the Word of God to our lives. Yes. You know, a lot of people will tell you, you know, I go to church. Well, if you read the Bible, you actually find out demons actually came into the synagogue at one point. Some people say, hey, you know what? I believe in God. Well, you know what? The demons believe in God too and shudder. Some people say, I pray. Well, funny enough, actually a demon in a man called actually Legion came to Jesus and said, hey, put us into the pigs. They prayed for Jesus that he would put them into the pigs, and he answered the prayer of a demon. So if you say that I believe in God, if you say I pray, if you say I go to church, then your faith is actually no better than a demon. The question is whether we are obeying the Word of God. The question is whether we're applying his Word to our life. And so we're going to get into Luke 15 today as we continue our Luke series.
Come on in.
And we're going to really see the heart that God has for the lost. Have you ever been lost before?
Yep. Yeah.
Like lost physically?
Yep.
Right. I mean, some of you may be lost spiritually too, but amen. But I know what it's like to be lost physically. Like you go, and you know, you ever get lost and it's dark outside? And you don't know where you're going? And you want to ask for directions, but you're like, that dude looks a pretty shady over there. If I ask him for directions, he may just rob me. You know what I'm talking about right there?
Yeah.
Family, God understands what it means that we're lost. That's why he sent his son to be able to come and find us.
Amen.
To come and die for us. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And for those of you who are disciples, we got to have that same heart. A lot of people are actually spiritually blind. And if you're blind, you walk into things. You hurt yourself. You don't know where you're going. If you're our guest here today, you know, I remember before I became a Christian, I became a Christian 18 years ago. I was a junior at Cornell University, and I remember the darkness of my life. I remember all the prestige and you know, the degrees and titles and all this stuff. But deep down, I was just an impure, immoral, deceitful man who thought I was better than other people. But ultimately, I wasn't. And it wasn't until I actually applied the Bible to my life and realized, wow, I can learn what it means to be a man of integrity. I can learn what it means to control my body and not give in to masturbation or pornography. I can understand what it means to be courageous and not have to lie, but tell the truth. You know, the reason why people lie is because they're cowards. They don't have enough courage to tell the truth. Are you with me here? And so for us here today, if you're our guest, I want to encourage you. There is no sin you cannot overcome. If I can overcome my sin by the power of God, you can do it too.
Right.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
And so here, as we take a look in Luke 15, we're going to read together and see, really, Jesus' heart for the lost. God's heart for the lost. Let's read here, starting in verse 1. It says, the top of it says, the parable of the lost sheep, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at three different parables today. And each one, I'm going to give you the name. So this is called the parable of the lost sheep. But in order to incorporate the theme of celebration, we're going to call it the parable of the rejoicing shepherd.
Wow.
And you're going to see why this shepherd was rejoicing. Let's read together. It says here, Luke 15, starting verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners, quote unquote, were all gathering around him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Okay, let's stop here. The parable of the rejoicing shepherd. Now, before, as we're reading chapter 15 here, look up a little bit, the verse right before the beginning of chapter 15. It says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, so Jesus is actually targeting two audiences right here. There's two audiences. There actually may actually be two audiences in this room. The first audience is the audience of the tax collectors and the quote-unquote sinners. Are you with me here? And it says here that they're gathering around Jesus. In the Greek, it literally means, in translation, means drawing near. Are you with me here? My prayer is that if you're here this morning, you're drawing near to God. You're drawing near to God's word by this time. Amen?
Amen.
And so the tax collectors and sinners, they're drawing near to Jesus, forming a kind of an inner circle around him right there, because they sense that he cares for them. He sense that there's something meaningful that he's going to say. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Right? But then the other audience is who? The tax collectors and the teachers of the law. They're kind of at the back, the outer edge. Are you with me right here? And what are they doing? They're muttering. They're talking. Who is this guy talking about? It's kind of like, you ever see some churches, you see some people in the front, woo, they're fired up. What is the preacher going to say? I'm ready, I got notes. Then you got other people in some churches are all the way in the back. And they sit in the back, not because there's not enough seats in the front. There's seats in the front, but they want to sit in the back. They're not drawing near to God. No, 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 no. They're back there looking at Facebook while they're saying, uh-huh, to the preacher. They're back there answering email. Now, I'm sure there's no one in the back doing that today, because we're still not disciples of the Lord. Amen. If you're here early, you get a seat up front. But I'm sure it's just because we're getting bigger, so amen. So what do we see right here? Hopefully, you're not part of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Amen? Come on, David. Come on, bro. No, we are part of, you know what? The tax collectors and the sinners.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, very often if you see yourself that way, it just humbles your heart.
Yeah.
That God would still care about me, even though I'm nobody. Are you with me right there? And so it goes on. In verse 3, it says, and that's why it says this man, in verse 2, it says this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, in some churches, people don't welcome sinners. I'm sorry, who is not a sinner in this room? There are some churches that teach, once you become a Christian, you stop sinning.
Yeah.
Are you serious? That is a complete false doctrine. I mean, that means to say, okay, so as I walk up to these people, I'm like, okay, so you've never sinned before? You've never sinned after you became a Christian? No. Are you serious?
Wow.
No. Have you ever lied? Sure. Then you've sinned. You sinned after you became a Christian. Like you've lied since you became a Christian. Yes. Have you looked lusted at someone walking by?
Yeah.
So you've not sinned. Are you really that deceived? Jesus died for sins of the past, present, and for the future. Amen. His blood continues to wash us clean. But there are people today in churches who actually teach that nonsense. But the good news is that for all of you here, you're welcome.
Amen.
Now, the question is whether you've come to visit or you've come to stay. My prayer is that you come to stay.
Amen.
Well, the Bible goes on. It says in verse 3 that Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. See, that's the goal. The goal is not, okay, God loves me so I can sin it up and do whatever I want. No, the goal is we come before him humbly. Even though I'm a sinner, I want to what? Repent. I want to change my ways. Don't take God's grace for granted. It says here, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Well, that's kind of funny, because if you think about it, everybody needs to repent. Yep. Even if you're righteous, you understand, man, I need to repent so much more. Yep. Are you with me here? Yep. Guys, this is huge. But you see, the Pharisees were looking at people like, you're a sinner. I'm righteous. Sadly, even today in churches, people can do that. Yeah. You're unsaved. I'm saved. When we do that, family, and we start to look down on people, we're just like a Pharisee.
Right.
We got to stay humble for the Lord. There is no sin. If you think about it, what was the sin of Pilate? The sin of Pilate was cowardice. Pilate was selfish and he was cowardly. Instead of saying, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this man. Get away from him. I free him. Because he wanted to please the crowd and keep his job. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
He handed over the Son of God. And you know, some of people think, oh, well, cowardice is not that bad.
Wow.
Selfishness is not that bad. I mean, it's not as bad as, like, fornication. It's not as bad as drugs. Let me tell you, pride, selfishness, cowardice, that will send you to hell. Do you not believe me? Take a look over at Revelation.
All right.
No, this is worth it. Because, you know, sometimes we get all self-righteous. And people think just because they go to church on Sunday and wear a nice outfit, that now all of a sudden they're good to go. Let's see what the Bible says here. Oh, there's so much to share. Okay, Revelation 21. Let's see what the Bible says here. In Revelation 21, what does the Bible say here? In verse 6, it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Of course, God's word. He who overcomes will inherit all this. See, we need to overcome. Amen, family? Kind of like what we sang about. And I will be his God and he will be my son. Verse 8. But the what?
Alpha.
Wow. That's the first one. You thought he was going to say, like, immorality. How courageous were you as you shared your faith this week? How courageous are you to stand up against your bosses or your family members who want you to compromise your Christianity? But the cowardly, the unbelieving. People can read the word of God and know it, but yet do not believe. So just because someone knows the Bible, does that mean they actually believe?
No.
No. It says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile. You know, like, something vile is just nasty. You know when people have a lot of, like, malice in them?
Yeah.
They're just mean. Right? Just nasty. Right? Then it goes on, the murderers. Oh, okay, them too. The sexually immoral. What does sexually immoral mean? Having sex outside the marriage relationship.
Okay.
Come on,
bro.
Mm-hmm. I got real quiet.
Come on, bro.
Those who practice magic arts.
Yeah.
The idolaters. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Well, what's an idolater? Putting anything above God. Putting your value in anything above God. Whether that's your job, whether that's your family, whether that's your kids. Whatever that is what you worship. That is what you make time for. That is what you sacrifice for. That is what you will not give up. And all?
Liars.
Wow, that's in there too? Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Guess what? All liars too. That's where they go. Are you with me right here, family? And it says, what does it say? It says, their place will be what? In the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So you think, man, death is going to be one thing. But God says, death is not a big deal. Death is not a big deal. You will die. Your body is shutting down.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm 39 years old.
Aww.
I'm in the best shape of my life. Well, maybe, almost. I mean, when I was in L.A., I was in really top, top, top shape. Almost best shape of my life. I'm going to be 40 next year. And I expect to be in the best shape of my life. But I know that Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X both died at 39 by an assassin's bullet.
Wow.
Life can go like that. Amen? So if I see a spear coming at me, I'll be a little anxious actually. But I know the Lord will keep me until this purpose for me is done. But why do I share all that? Because family, do we understand what sin is? Do we have a deep conviction about what it means to repent of it? Because, you know, people say, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a juju man. But yet, God says, cowardice, unbelieving, lying, that will send you to hell too. How many people repent of those sins? Especially when your job says, just look the other way now. Just change the financial report. It will serve the company. When you take more money than you should when the cashier gives you too much, which is unlikely here in Nigeria. Let's get back to Luke 15. Here in this touching story, the shepherd leaves the 99 to go and find the one. And, you know, of course, who is the shepherd? What is a parable, guys? A parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. So the whole goal of this story is to show God's heart for us, right? And so the shepherd is our Father in heaven, and we need to imitate his heart. Amen? And it says the shepherd searches until he finds his sheep. Now, I believe there's a reason why God uses sheep for people. You know why? Because sheep are the dumbest animals in the animal kingdom. Sheep are very, very stupid. I'm a sheep too, so it's not like I'm down on you. We're all sheep. Now, the funny thing is, we think we're smart. And the funny thing is, Satan laughs at you. He's like, yes, I'm going to use your pride right against you. Because you think you're so smart. I've won over a lot of smart people just like you. I've used my temptations of sex, power, money, and I get them every time. But if you start relying on that Jesus guy, does that not make sense to the world? Guys, this is huge.
Come on, bro.
The shepherd searches until he finds the sheep. You know, I know for me, I grew up going to church. I knew the Bible stories. I could quote you scripture. But that didn't stop me from living an immoral life. You know why? Because I didn't fear God. I didn't think God could say, you know what? Drop dead. Right now, drop dead. I'm going to take your heart. Just stop. Just stop. Your lungs will not inflate anymore. Your lungs will not inflate anymore. So God could do that. Just like this. Boom.
Tonight.
An idol is in your life? Oh, you want to go after that girl? Drop dead. Done. God could do that, you know. But in his grace and mercy, he says, how much longer do I have to wait for you? 18 years? Maybe you'll come to me right before you die. Is that what you think is going to happen? Maybe you'll find a baptistry right the hour, the 11th hour, decide to repent and now get baptized when you're 85.
Wow.
Come on, girl.
Is this why I sent my son to die for you?
Wow.
You see, family, the shepherd searches until he finds the sheep. And it says, once he finds him, what does he do? You stupid sheep. Why did you make me come all the way out here to search for you? Is that what it says? No. He says, no bitterness in his heart. He says, I'm going to pick you up and I'm joyfully bringing you back. Is that awesome right there? That's what God did for me. That's what God did for me. Literally, God put the fear into me without killing me. He made me think I almost got an STD. He sent me an email through a girl that I was with at the time, study partner, saying, oh my gosh, I think I have something. Do you have something?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. For a guy, now mind you, because you know, guys always think, I know how to pick the women. I know how to pick women. They have to be pure. They have to be clean. You don't go marry someone you meet at the bar.
That's true.
Let's just be honest. Guys, let's be honest. You don't marry some woman who's dressed like a prostitute. You use those people, sadly, in the world. And then you marry the church once. That is the way I thought before I became a true disciple. Right? So what does God do? He's like, so your idol is women. Okay, I have a way to win you back. Let me put some fear into you. So that's what he did. And here I am. I mean, I'm at Cornell University. I'm feeling good about myself. Studying medicine, doing taekwondo. I'm fit. I'm sharp. I'm healthy. And then I get this email. You may have an STD. You know what? There's nothing like the fear for you to see how weak you really are. It doesn't make a difference how smart you are, how strong you are. It doesn't matter. And so, thankfully, I didn't have one. Thank God. But the Lord put his fear into me. And literally, because I found out that study partner, her ex, literally had met with her 2 weeks after me and given her something. And she was just checking to make sure I didn't have it. And so after that, that's when the Lord now invited, told the sister who had just transferred from New York City all the way up to upstate New York where I was at Cornell, and said, listen, turn around and invite that funny looking guy in that lunch line right there. She turned around. She said, hi, would you like to come to a singles retreat?
Wow.
That was the first question. And I said, singles retreat?
Hey.
God even knew. He knew. He knew my sin. And he said, I know how I'm going to get you. I'm going to use the bait to get you. First, I put fear into you. Then, I'm going to use the bait. Beautiful sister comes in. Would you like to come to a singles retreat?
Wow.
And I'm like, in my head, who are you? I thought I knew all the black people here at Cornell. And so what did she do? Yes, we actually, and she saw my expression. And I was like, when I said, singles retreat, right? She's like, no. She just shut it down. She's like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. We're actually going to apply the Bible to our life and not be hypocrites.
Wow.
Hey!
I give her my number. She says, thank you. Does not give me hers. Smart girl. Are you with me right now? Right? Then, funny enough, I go back up to work. I go email. Who is this woman? Is it Tiffany? What? Who is this person? I've never seen her before. Come to find out she had just transferred. God literally brought a transfer student who was a disciple. 5 hours upstate New York to come find me. Are you with me right there? And God sent someone to find you. 2 weeks later, the guys know, actually not even, the next day or two, guys told me, Andrew, I heard you're interested in studying the Bible. I didn't do, but I was like, wow, sure, why not? They drive up an hour and a half from where the church was to meet me.
Wow.
Study the Bible. Get baptized a month later.
Come on.
And now I'm the evangelist and world side leader for all. Man like me and come searching for me, what can he do for you?
Yes.
Don't be stupid.
No.
Don't be a sheep. Some of you look at me like, no, I ain't no sheep. I ain't no sheep. I know what to do. I'm going to do me. I won't fall for Satan's tricks. Of course, because you're smarter than me. Right? You're smarter than Satan too, aren't you?
Well, come on.
You see, family, the Bible says here, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. What's the heart of this passage? It's the value of a single soul. Like, literally, Jesus would have gone to the cross just for you. Does that make you feel special? Like, Jesus? Like, guys, this is incredible. Like, there were no men at Cornell University. who men disciples. God found me and took a sister from New York City 5 hours away to come find me. After I was baptized, we now grew from 1 to 11 in the men. Are you with me here? And he's and for all the disciples here, I want to encourage you. There's a reason why you became a disciple.
Amen.
God doesn't choose anybody. He chooses people who want to worship him in spirit and truth. And that's why it's so sad when people, after knowing the truth, now turn back to the vomit. Turn back to the mud. Because that's what sheep do. You understand that, right? Sheep turn back to the mud. Take a look in 2 Peter. I'll show you this real quick. What does the Bible say here? What does the Bible say here? Look what the Bible says. 2 Peter, we got to have a deep conviction about this. The Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Are you there?
Yep. Come on, bro.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Let's see what the Bible says here.
Come on, bro.
It says, everyone there?
Yeah.
We're a Bible church, so look on in your Bible. Yep. That's the reason why people get led astray, is because they don't know what the Bible actually says, and they just trust the person up front.
Yeah.
Read your Bible. Your pastor will not be there for you. If you're a guest today, your pastor will not be standing beside you when you stand before God.
Yeah.
It'll just be you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, what does the Bible say? If they've escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again are what?
Entangled.
You ever get entangled in sin?
Yes.
You know how sin entangles you? Like, for guys with lust, what happens, right? Like, I haven't masturbated in 17 years now, 18 years. Right? I haven't looked at porn, none of that stuff. But I know how it happens. You go online. Oh, Sports Illustrated. I want to watch sports. Well, seems normal. Then on the side it says, oh, the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. Now, if you're a disciple, you're danger, danger, danger.
Yay.
But what, see, the Bible says the prudent man sees danger and takes refuge.
Yep.
The simple, as in the stupid sheep, keep going and suffer for it.
Yep.
Right? And so what happens? You click on Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. Well, it's not porn, right? No, it's just buxom women in bikinis. Do you think that's a good thing? That's impurity. What's wrong with you?
Come on, bro.
Then you look at that, you think, ah, well, that doesn't satisfy. Maybe it's okay to click on some of this stuff. Then next thing you know, it what? Entangles.
Yep.
Or maybe you're at the job, my sister.
Come on.
And there's this guy who's looking at you at the job.
Right?
And he's sharp, handsome, got money, drives up in his Mercedes. You think to yourself, man, this guy can provide for me. He likes me. He makes me feel special. Meanwhile, he's looking at you like, another sheep, ready for the wolf. Know what I need to say to her, because she's so starving for attention and affection. She's got daddy issues. Daddy is not there for her. I mean, come on. Who doesn't like pleasure?
That's real tough, bro.
Come on.
You know why? You know why? You know why I know this? Because before I became a disciple, I was the wolf. I know how a wolf thinks because I was one. It says that they've escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are getting tangled in it and overcome. They are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow, a pig that is washed, goes back to her wallowing in the mud.
Wow.
My family, where are you today? Don't be a sheep. Don't be stupid. Think about who God is, your Father is. And think about the fact that He wants to carry you home. Joyfully. No bitterness. No anger. If you're a disciple here, do you have that kind of heart when you go after people? It's so great to see dear friends joining us again here today. I pray there's no bitterness in your heart. You're like, I gotta call this guy because it's Welcome Home Sunday, Prodigal Son Sunday. I know what he did to me, you know. Hey, you coming? Are you with me here? Or is it like, I'm just joyful you answered the phone. Thanks so much. It's good to hear your voice. Aww. You know, I saw dear friends I haven't seen in a while come today. Yeah. What did I do? I wrapped my arms around them.
Yeah.
With all sincerity in my heart, I miss you. I love you, bro. Are you coming back to visit? Or are you coming back to stay?
Come on.
Is that the heart of you, disciples, as we try to bring friends and family home? You know, this value of a single soul, let's get back to Luke here, we're going to move on. The value of a single soul is so important. Because you don't know what one person could do. Look at me. What could one person getting baptized do for our continent?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Come on.
You know, I think of my dear brother Deji.
Gotten
baptized at 21 years old.
Come on.
I got baptized at 20, bro. You got baptized at 21, right? Okay. So you got baptized at 21. And since then, God used him to baptize all five of his siblings.
Hey.
Are you with me right there? Then he's going around for a prayer walk. He baptized Ishioma, who now met Collins, who got baptized.
Amen.
So Ishioma gets baptized. Collins is baptized. Ishioma meets Osaf. He gets baptized.
Amen.
Right? Osaf meets Marcus. Marcus is telling the Bible. He could get baptized soon.
Amen.
Guys. One guy. What do you think what do you think God wants to do with you? Are you holding God back? Or do you have the heart of a shepherd to go out and search for those lost sheep who are missing? Do you know your neighbor's names? Have you invited them over for a meal? You know, last night we had an incredible time hanging out with Toby's cousin, actually, Dami, and her husband, Chidozie. Had a fantastic time. Having a great dinner together. It was so encouraging just to build great friendships. And then they had a friend there who's actually, funny enough, the guy looks like Michael Williamson. I had to show him a picture.
Wow.
I was like, bro, you look just like my friend Michael Williamson in London. And then he's married to an American. I'm like, hey, man, it's so good to see other Americans. We connected. It was awesome. But do you even know who your neighbors are? I'm a disciple! Who else knows besides you? Guys, Stephanie has come to be baptized. And it's all worth it.
Come on.
You are worth it. You are worth it, Stephanie. God wants to bring you home.
That's right.
And I'm glad you're here today.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, God is working powerfully. In the Lagos Church this year, we've seen 63 baptisms. One restaurant, three place membership. God is working. But let me tell you, if we're going to hit our goal from going from 77 at the beginning of the year to 154, 28 more souls after Stephanie has got to make it.
Wow.
It's never been done. I've never seen it done. But I believe God can do great things. Because my Bible tells me in Ephesians 3, God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So my prayer is that we have about 6 Sundays, 6 midweeks. Oh, by the way, we have over 40 days. Let's see what God can do in 45 days. Let's put it before the Lord, but allow Him to use you. The last thing I'll tell you about this passage is the fact that it says, does He not leave the 99 and go after the lost until He finds the one? What does this tell you? God counts.
Wow.
God knows how many people are in here. And guess what? We're going to find out how many people are in here too. If you're a disciple, do you know the people who are missing from your Bible talk? When someone's missing in church, do you care to go looking for them? Are you a shepherd? Are you with me here, family? A lot of people go to church, they come, they listen, they leave. Not in God's house. Disciples understand that if someone's missing from God's house, we go searching for our brother.
Right.
We go searching for our sister. In the world, they don't care. Most churches just want your money. We don't care about your money. We want your soul.
Amen.
That's the heart, family. And so when we have our Bible Talk leaders meetings, we say, who's missing? Who's weak? What can we do to help them? Who can make it? We know exactly what's going on in the church.
Amen.
That's why we're split into small groups.
That's right.
But for those of you who are disciples, do you care who's missing? And have you made the effort to call them when they are? I mean, of course, that means you have to actually go to Bible Talk to know.
Right.
That's point number two. The parable of the jubilant housewife.
All right.
Let's take a look here. Also known as the parable of the lost coin. It says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp? Again, this is another parable, right? Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost coin.
Amen.
In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Wow. All right. Now, the word coin in the Greek here is drachma. Drachma. D-R-A-C-H-M-A. What does that mean? That's about a day's wage. So imagine, this woman drops this coin, a day's wage. What would you say a day's wage in Nigeria is? 1,000 naira, 5,000 naira. So I guess it depends upon your job. 50,000 naira, okay. Not likely, okay. Let's say 1,000 naira. Now, guys, minimum wage here is 18,000 naira. I think they just brought it up to 30,000. It's not even yet. It's still 18,000. Can you imagine? Okay. Now, let's say it's 1,000 naira. So imagine you lose 1,000 naira and your pay is 18,000 or 30,000 a month. You'd be like, where's my 1,000 naira? That's my contribution. Right? Where's my 1,000 naira? Are you with me here? Right? And so it's interesting. It's valuable. And she says here, you know, back in those days, they didn't have NEPA.
No.
They have to what? Light a lamp, right? And now go searching. Because back in these times in Galilee, many homes had like tiles, right? And they were made of these flat basalt stones, usually gray or black. And so it's not carpets. You know, oh, I can find it. It's in the carpet. No, there's no carpet here, right? And so a coin could have fallen in the crevice between the stones.
Hey.
And you're like, ah, where's my 1,000 naira, right? Of course, it's paper, but just stick with me with the thing.
Come on, we're with you, bro.
Right? And so the lessons from this parable is that the coin represents a soul. It's an inanimate object. It suggests that it can't find its way back to the owner. You get what I'm saying? So each person needs someone to bring them to Jesus. Are you with me here? Jesus is talking about the same heart for the lost in three different parables. One right after the other. The first one is the value of a single soul. That's the first point.
Come on.
The value of a single soul. The second point is that each person, of the jubilant housewife, each person needs someone to bring them back to Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Because even the Ethiopian eunuch needed Philip.
Yep.
Even though he was searching in Acts 8, he needed Philip. I'm reading the Bible, but how can I understand it unless someone explains it to me?
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Right.
Some people think I can find Jesus on my own. Well, sadly, if that was the case, then Lagos should be the most spiritual place on the planet.
Yes!
With all the churches we have here, and all the people who claim to be prophets and all this other nonsense, this should be a spiritual place, is it?
No.
All you have to do is look at how people drive and see how spiritual it is.
Wow.
Well then, the woman represents God's people. And in the Old Testament, God's people, Israel, was referred to as a beautiful woman in Ezekiel 16. In the New Testament, God's people are his church. So the God's people are the woman. And what are they doing? They're searching for what? The soul. The lost coin, the lost soul. Are you with me here, family? And then it's cool because then you have this whole concept of coming together and bringing our friends together, representing God's people. And of course, the lamp is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Leading me. shining light on those who may be free. Are you with me? Is that cool right there?
Yeah.
You see how the parable, remember, earthly story with a spiritual meaning, brings things to life. But key thing you got to take from this is that everyone needs someone to bring them back home to Jesus. A lot of people say, you know what? If God wants them, they'll come around. That's why he puts you in the room with them. You know, I so appreciate my friend Kingsley, who's here with me today. Kingsley works at the C-Mart right down the street from my house. And when I went in, I'm going to get juice, water. And this guy was he was an excellent worker. I mean, he was so accommodating. He knew the prices for stuff. I'm like, this is awesome. It's nice to meet someone who actually knows their job. You know what I'm talking about right there? And then afterwards, you know, we get this up. Sir, can I bring it to your car? Well done, sir. Come on, let's go. This is great. I'm so grateful you're here with me, Jesus. He's been coming out to Bible Talk. We pray for him as he continues to study the Bible, amen? That's the way it needs to be. Like, we need to act a heart to start searching for people. And sometimes God will literally bring them to you, and the question is, what are you going to do? Some of you are very, very, very... And I want to encourage you with this. Some people think that only a few people have the gift of evangelism. Let me just squash this false doctrine for you real quick.
Come on, bro.
Jesus didn't say to some of his disciples, okay, Peter, James,